Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Pentecost is about the Spirit coming. Jesus mentioned that to his disciples. He said this, Gospel of John, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing no one here this morning called a friend maybe 3 or 4 days ago and said something like this: "Frank, why don't you and Mary come over this next Sunday, the 20th? We'll cook some burgers, maybe some brats. Come over about 5 o'clock or so. Tell Mary she can probably bring a dessert. Bring the kids as well. We'll celebrate. It's Pentecost." Probably didn't hear much of that. Next Sunday for Memorial Day, more likely. Pentecost Sunday, not so much. I had some fun this past week going around to several different retailers looking for greeting cards, and as you doubtless know, as I found, there are greeting cards for all sorts of occasions. Some that I didn't even know were around, that is, greeting cards. You'd think that holiday like Pentecost would get some coverage. But looking around, I found that Mother's Day cards celebrated last Sunday, pretty much all boxed up. Father's Day cards are out big time. I had a pretty good idea that I'd get a deer in the headlights look if I asked a clerk to steer me to the Pentecost section, so I didn't even bother that. But you would think a company like Hallmark, for example, would be all over this holiday, right? Even as a Christian holiday. What's not to like? You got your fire, you got your wind, you got your speaking in other languages, you got your birth of the greatest religious movement in all of history. I could think of a couple of cards that I would design. Hope you get fired up for Pentecost, right? Yeah, something like that. Or maybe more Holy Spirit power to you. Wouldn't that be a good one? Yeah, be a good one. But no, more than 100,000 retailers sell greeting cards in the United States. And last year, more than 7 billion cards were sold, with a total receipt of more than $7.5 billion. There are all kinds of greeting cards. Took a look at some of them. Here's a retirement card. That makes sense. Nice touch for a colleague. Probably put a $20 bill in for somebody that you really appreciated working with. On the other side, on the other end of the employment spectrum, here's one for somebody who's just landed a new job. Yay, new job, you're hired, that sort of thing. Awesome. That's good. Makes sense. I didn't know this one was around, but it's also somewhat touching. It takes a special person to care for others like you, so it was listed under the caregiver's card. Somebody in your family being cared for by somebody else makes some sense, a sense of appreciation. As I said, Father's Day is coming up in a few weeks. Here's a Father's Day card from your pet dog. Today is all about you, so you know what that means. And in the inside it says, "You'll be treated almost as well as me." That's a good one. Couldn't figure this one out completely. Found this at Walmart. It's a Father's Day card. The best thing a man can be is a good father. It's listed as a Father's Day card for your ex-husband. I guess the thought might be, look, you know, as a husband, you were a jerk, but as a father, I'll give you that, right? Maybe, don't know. And Walgreens, let us know that they're a retailer of the 21st century. Here's a card, well-colored and documented and pretty, I guess, for you to take the next time you're going to a same-sex wedding, right? With all the colors of the rainbow. We are not in Kansas anymore, are we, Toto? 21st century. Cards in almost every conceivable and sometimes inconceivable reason and purpose and destination. And I'm guessing if you couldn't find something online for what you wanted, a really, really special niche celebration, you could find somebody or somewhere to make one. And yet, not a Pentecost card among them, not a one. Cards for every imaginable circumstance, occasion, celebration, but you'll search in vain for one labeled Pentecost. The Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church says that Pentecost is the second most important celebration of the Christian year. Easter is first, Pentecost is second. That may be true in Christian tradition and Christian history, but I'm not so sure most people would agree with that or understand it. For most people, both within and outside the Christian community, I'm guessing that Christmas may be first, Easter may be second, and then there's a whole lot of small ones putting in a bucket over here that hardly anybody ever pays attention to. Pentecost would be one, or Ascension, or Transfiguration. Doesn't get much press, doesn't get much of a holiday. I believe I have an idea of why that is true. Pentecost isn't, and was never meant to be, simply a celebration of something from the past. It's not a three-day weekend holiday when we get together and kick back and remember what once was, at least we've heard about from maybe some tradition or parents or teachers. We don't get together and sit around and kick back and say something like, "Jim, you remember Pentecost? Something else, wasn't it? Man, we had the tongues of fire. Wind that sounded like a 747 warming up in a broom closet. It was a Kodak moment." Don't hear that sort of thing. And we don't do that, I believe, because Pentecost is meant to be present, active, real time. It's when we are taught by the Spirit, who had been sent by Jesus Christ, to represent that same Jesus Christ in the world. Jesus had said, "You're going to receive the Spirit, and when the Spirit comes, He's going to teach you all about Me, My teachings. He's going to teach you about My birth and My teachings and My death and resurrection. He's going to teach you about walking with God in a new covenant. He's going to teach you all of these things." So Pentecost is really the matter of having a message, a voice, a nudging, a challenge. It's as though Jesus were standing right next to us. It's not just one day, it's every day. Sure, we commemorate Pentecost this Sunday, and we should. But every day is a new Pentecost. Every day is a new wind of the Spirit, a new opportunity to be the body and feet of Jesus in our world. We celebrate Pentecost by using the Spirit gifts given by God Himself to represent Jesus Christ in our world. I appreciate the following story with a kind of a low-level humor to it. An older gentleman was sitting with a group of 20-somethings, and he was bragging about how fit he was. Sat down on the floor, finished 100 sit-ups, and then he said, "I'm as fit as when I was 21 years old, maybe even more fit. You know why? I don't drink any alcohol. I avoid caffeine. I get and eat 5 portions of fruit and vegetables every day. Don't smoke. Eat only organic food that I raise myself. Don't chase women. Never married. Never cared to." And then he said, "And tomorrow I'm going to celebrate my 85th birthday." "Oh, really?" drawled one of the youngsters. "How?" Yeah. How do you celebrate in that circumstance? Good question for Pentecost, isn't it? I don't know where you are in your life situation this morning, but you can today, this week, the rest of your life, celebrate Pentecost without the cards. Is there something in your soul, some message niggling in your mind to the point where your soul is not at rest? Do you have a sense that a course of action is good for you, is God-willed for you, but you haven't had the courage to act on that in the past? Maybe now you're getting the message you should. At Pentecost, the Spirit of Christ emboldens us to say what we sometimes aren't willing to say and to do some of the things we haven't had courage to do. That's part of what Jesus giving the Spirit stuff is all about. Empowering us, equipping us, challenging us, nudging us into a new direction, a new possibility, a new opportunity, a new blessing, yes. Something new. In the Old Testament, Ezekiel was brought by the Spirit of God into a valley of dry bones, and Ezekiel was asked, can these dry bones live? Can they? Are you in a life situation that has sucked the life right out of you? Your mom and dad tell you that they don't love each other anymore, and well, everything's going to be okay, and it's not your fault, and you understand, don't you? Or your supervisor at work tells you that there's going to be a downsizing, a riffing, and your department's going to go from 7 to 3, and there's only 3 that can remain, and your name is not one of them. Or you're waiting in a waiting room, they call it surgery waiting room these days, and your spouse is on the other side of the door, and the physician comes out and says that C word that makes you wilt, and then in the course of the conversation, he says, but there's a good chance. Chances aren't what you wanted to hear. What you hear is a babble of voices, and you're wondering if dry bones can live again. Pentecost comes to us daily, 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 to remind us that, yes, dry bones can live. New life can come into a situation where there was no life prospect at all. We pray, we worship, we come to the table, and then we move with God into a new future. Jesus tells us in the Gospels that the Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to teach us and lead us into the same things that Jesus Himself taught and led us. Let me explain how that works. Over the last 5 weeks, we've been hearing from our messages on Sunday morning, Pastor Tiemann, and in our small groups and our study groups, and other people have done an independent study. We've been hearing about how to be anxious for nothing. That's a quotation from St. Paul, Galatians chapter 4. But prior to Paul, it was a teaching of Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." There's a little sentence right in the middle that doesn't get the attention it deserves. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Which means this. If the world does not give this peace to you, the peace that Jesus gives, the shalom that He offers, if the world does not give this peace to you, then the world cannot take it away without your permission. That's Pentecost. If the world does not give the shalom that God through Jesus Christ offers to you, then the world cannot take that peace away without your permission. That's good. That's Pentecost good. Pentecost has so many levels of meaning. Pentecost demonstrates also a new slant on prayer. For many of us, self included, when we pray for outcomes. That's biblical. We pray that God would continue to provide us what we need every day. We pray, as Pastor Bob did, for travel mercies for people who will be traveling over the celebration over the next 10 days. We pray for those who graduate, move to new responsibilities. We pray for blessings on family and friends and members of a congregation. We pray for good outcomes. That's all godly and that's all good and that's all biblical. But Pentecost has a new way of praying, a new slant. It goes like this. Jesus said to His disciples before He left, He said, "You're in Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem and wait." And the disciples said something like, "Okay, but why should we be waiting? What are you going to do? What should we look for?" And Jesus said, "Never mind, just go to Jerusalem and wait." And that's what they did. And they went to Jerusalem and they gathered together and they prayed and they waited and they listened and they waited and they waited and they listened. Søren Kierkegaard was a 19th century Danish philosopher. He wrote the following about prayer. A man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking, but he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized that prayer is listening. In the end, he realized that prayer is listening. Folks, that's right out of Pentecost. They waited, they prayed, they listened, and then they were used mightily for God Himself in His purposes of taking that message from a small Galilean backwater town into, as they said, the very ends of the earth. Almost in every church I've served at one capacity or another in the last decades, I found that somewhere in the church there's a book. Usually it's nicely bound. It's in the library. It's maybe behind some glass, or it's specially featured somewhere. It's a book about the history of that particular congregation. Somewhere are the names of all the charter members. Not always sure why, because there's so many people responsible for a congregation. But here's a list of the charter members. They were there to get the idea going. They spent insane hours getting it thriving and so on. By contrast, there was a mighty act done on Pentecost Sunday, but only one person is named, and that is St. Peter, because it was his responsibility then to explain to the people who couldn't see and understand what was going on, what was going on. And then the great mass of the unnamed went out. Spirit-led, Jesus-praising, God-fearing, and began, as I said earlier, the greatest religious movement in all of human history. You see, God is never so much impressed with our ability as He is with our availability. That's Pentecost true. God is never so interested and impressed with our ability as He is interested in our availability. Pentecost is a person-changing message. With your availability, with what you have to work with, your blessings, yes, your gifts of the Spirit, your spiritual gifts, what is the Spirit of God planning to work through you today, this weekend, this month, your life? Good question, right? Good Pentecost question. God will provide. That Spirit will be with you just as surely as that Spirit was with that ragtag group of first disciples. He will bless you. He's promised. I had a random thought this past week in regard to Pentecost. I thought, why don't I just go to a grocery store and get myself a Pentecost cake? And so that's what I resolved to do. Most of the following is true. I decided to go to the Jewel Osco here on Teckler, find myself a cake. Got inside, didn't know where the bakery was. Somebody pointed me, you know where it is. If you've been there, it's right next to the produce department. Asked about a cake, and the lady there said, well, just find one that kind of looks like something you'd like to have, and just bring it up to me, and we'll decorate it. So I found myself one, $23.95. I think it's called a quarter sheet cake. Found it, took it up to the counter, and she said, probably should put some border on. What color would you like? And I thought, well, it's Pentecost. About only one color would do, right? Red. So we put red border on it. And then she said, is there anything else for decoration that you'd like on this? And I said, well, tongues of fire if you got them. My lame attempt at humor went right past, as you'd expect. We settled for some blue balloons, not quite sure why, but that's what we got. And then she said, would you like me to put any message on top? And I said, absolutely I would. I said, would you please write on top there, Happy Pentecost. And she got that little squeeze thing that you write with on cakes, and she squeezed out, and she got happy done okay, and that was fine. And then I said, well, the next word would be Pentecost, and she wrote out the P and then the E, and then she stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, what was that? And I said, Pentecost, P-E-N-T-E-C-O-S-T. And then I think she got an N done, and she grabbed that little squeezy thing, and she took it up, and she looked back at me, and she said, "Why don't you write it down on a piece of paper, and I'll just take it from there." Never had one of those before. As Jay Leno would say, exactly, exactly. We celebrate Pentecost today, this week. It's not well known, but it is powerful. It's Pentecost. Lived every day. Be available to be used by the Spirit of God. Be available to that coaching, that nudging, that challenging, that equipping that comes to the Spirit-led, Jesus-believing, God-fearing Christian. Be prepared to speak a new language of love and of service. So today, with thanks for all that He has done for us, happy Pentecost. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Will you please rise?